Welcome to the Court Report. I'm Jerry Price, and I'm here with Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Banghart. Coach, welcome.
Hi.
So this is, we've done a few of these in the off season, but this is the first one that we're going to do, and now it's going to be every week. So
all right,
we'll be locked in on Tuesdays.
Good.
And you know, people can get used to hearing from you directly about the women's basketball team and know when to look for it. So this is season two.
We're getting old, Jerry.
I wonder if people will. Let us like have maybe like 10 weeks and then binge listen to them.
Like they do the Netflix shows, like during exams when no one's playing. They'll miss a lot though. We're riveting.
I guess it won't be the same thing, but we have to start before we get into anything else. We have to start with your injury.
Oh gosh, injury. Jerry, I'm getting old. So the short version is I was trying to be cool for my children. The long version is that I've been out for 8 weeks with a some sort of knee fracture. And landing in a pool that wasn't deep enough. But I did make the shot. It was a basketball shot about 30 feet alley-oop. So I was in, I'm on the IR, which is a bummer.
So you landed in a shallow pool and your knee buckled?
Yeah. So my son was trying to shoot a basketball into a hoop, but he had swimmies on. So obviously the ball wasn't even going over his head, and he just kept trying and trying. And he's like, Mommy, Mommy. So I said, why don't you get out? Why don't you throw it to me? And I'll jump off the pool deck, and in midair, I'll shoot it and get it in. Well, his shot, he's four. You know, his wasn't a perfectly timed jump. And so I had to sort of contort myself to catch it, and I sort of heaved it towards the basket. It went in, but I landed in the pool with a straight leg, and that was not good for my body.
Did you know immediately something was up?
Ironically, I actually thought it was my ankle. I couldn't put any weight on it. So I thought, oh, my God, I might have broken my ankle.
Did you not want to show like you did?
Yeah, of course. I was like, I'm fine. And my son's like, are you okay, Mommy? I'm like, oh, I'm great. Did shot go in? And so I thought it was my ankle. So I actually did an MRI x-ray on my ankle. And then as I started to be able to put a little bit of weight on my ankle, I realized it was actually my knee. So it was in a lot of pain.
So it's been 8 weeks?
8 weeks. But I give a big shout out to the Prince. If you're going to get hurt, it's good to do it when you're a college coach, because the training room has been really supportive of me and helpful. And I'm there with the football guys and other such players. Just, I'm one of them now.
Did you ever have that kind of an injury as a player?
You know, I luckily evaded. One could say I didn't play hard enough, but you know well enough that's not true. No, I evaded injury for the most part in my college career.
So has this slowed you at all?
Big time. Yeah, big time. I haven't been able to run. I'm a pretty avid fitness. I have a pretty avid fitness regime, in part to stay engaged and healthy and enthusiastic for my team. But I've really had to shut down my workouts. So I'm doing like battle ropes.
But what about coaching-wise? I mean,
yeah, I was in crutches, I have to admit, for the first like 6 weeks. That was painful. So I'm sort of was on one crutch, crutching around, and you don't want to sort of be injured in front of your young team. So that was a bummer. But I'm off crutches now, and I'm just sort of wearing a brace and acting like I'm healthy.
So let's talk a little bit about Princeton this fall.
Yeah.
And specifically, basically every team has been doing well, but let's talk about the football team.
Yeah.
Because I know that you've followed them pretty closely, and your team is pretty regular attendees at their home games.
For sure, yeah. So Bob's my neighbor, and he's been so supportive of me and of what we're doing, and his guys often play on our scrimmage squad, so they, when their season's over, they help us get better as we round the Ivy League race. And it's just been fun. Now, especially with me in the training room all the time, I see Haluba and other such guys that have been just welcoming to me, and it's been fun to see Bob build this in a way that I always thought he was too nice. I didn't think they were going to be – I worried if they would be good enough because I thought he was too nice, and he's proving that nice guys can finish first.
If you think about the differences between basketball and football, they're extraordinary, and not just the way the games are played, but his roster is over 100 guys. Your roster is 15 women. He has an army of coaches, and you have a handful of coaches, and – on the other hand, if you look at the percentage of players on the court to coaches, yours is higher than his. But with all of those differences, are there things that you can learn from him?
Yeah, I think he's football's, like you said, it's really programmed too, and basketball's more fluid. So his level of preparation it has to be at a certain level. That's pretty impressive. His recruiting, he's got to recruit the breadth and depth in a way that we do as well, because we're really trying to be a consistent top 25 team. And then the fact that he's sort of fearless. So he works through more guys, more injuries, right? And so the way he just sort of sorts through injuries and just next man up, and the way he finds time for other programs in our department. I mean, people don't realize about Bob that he walks the hallways and genuinely cares. So I got on the bus after our scrimmage against LaSalle on Saturday. And of course, I was, my manager was keeping track of the football score during our scrimmage. And I hadn't even had a chance. I turned my phone back on and I hadn't had a chance to text him a congrats. And he had responded first, like, how do we do today? You know, that's just Bob's race. And to be at a school where football coach cares is pretty cool.
So if you look at some of the other teams at Princeton, you have the men's and women's soccer teams who, as we reach the last week of October, are both in a position where if they win out, they'll win the league championship and go to the NCAA tournament.
That's great.
So it's, and not to get too into how the soccer teams are going, but the difference between soccer, football, and basketball is, you talked about the fluidity of it. In basketball, you've reached the critical moment of the game. You can call timeout, presuming that you have one left.
Yep.
Set things up. You have media timeouts built into the game. There's a lot of coaching that goes on during the game.
Yeah.
In soccer, it's just all happening in front of you. You can't stop the play. There's really very little you
can
do.
Can't even sub a ton. Yeah.
Do you, would that drive you nuts? Or do you like the idea? Would you, I mean, I guess my question is, would you rather see fewer timeouts in basketball or?
I think because I'm actually soccer trained, I've got a lot more experience as a soccer player than I do as a basketball player. I probably young in my career, I coached almost more like a soccer coach. So I let things happen and I let them develop and I let the kids work through the rhythm of the game. And as I've gotten older and smarter and a little bit in more control of the game, I've probably shifted a little bit more towards taking advantage of the control I'm allowed to have. So I still think I'm a total hybrid, but you know, I think I've adjusted now to what basketball sport requires.
Do you think there's too much in-game coaching in basketball, like where the players are looking, not your team, but even in the NBA, there's a lot of it where it's, you know, they're all looking at the coach and the coach is calling something out every time down the court?
Yeah, you know, I think it's, coaches have to coach the personality of that they have. And there's an element of me that sort of play on and next play, and there's an element of me that says I need to prepare you to give a chance to win games. So, you know, other coaches, I think they like more control, and other maybe some others are on even the other side, less control. So I think it's just you have to, when you're in charge of any organization or any group of people, you have to do it within your personality if you're going to have success. And so, you know, I think that's a vague answer, but a pretty accurate one.
So with LeBron now on the Lakers, it looks like the Celtics are clearly the best team in the East. And I know you're a lifelong Celtics fan. I have been a Knicks fan my whole life. I've been a Giants fan my whole life, too, but I cannot root for the Giants anymore. Not because they're bad. They've been bad a lot of the time I've been a fan for them, even with all their Super Bowls. It's that, one, there's just very little about that team that you want to root for. And, two, they got rid of Mark Ross, who was a football player here in the 90s, and he was an important part of building their last two Super Bowl teams. And once they got rid of him, I can't root for them anymore. But my question for you is, does your allegiance to the Celtics trump everything? Or does the fact that Steve Mills is the president of the Knicks sort of open the door a little bit to root for them? And Craig Robinson is also part of the Knicks front office.
You know, Craig, as often is the case with when our players, their parents become a big part of my life, you know. And so Craig, I'm rooting for him and Steve very much. You know, they're people that I
So say it got to be Knicks Celtics in the playoffs. What are you doing with that?
Man, well, I'm going to be there and I'll probably be hopefully sitting with Craig and Steve. And I'll have to hope for a game seven, may the best team win.
So let's talk a little bit as we move into the 2018-19 season already, which is extraordinary because, I mean, what's opening day is like 10 days away, right?
It's, opening day, November 6th. Yeah, it feels right, so soon.
It's, you know, it's still October, but then, you know, what Halloween is when?
Here,
Halloween
so would next be... Wednesday. But it's midterm week here, and midterm week is always a little bit lighter if you have a genuine respect for the student-athlete experience. And then you go right into fall break where you get a little bit more of them. So although it's the same number of days, it's really this week you sort of are working through their exams and then we really get them next week.
So the 6th is actually 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's quick. I mean, it doesn't seem like, you know, you've had a very long preseason, but, you know, where are you now? And let's start with where you are.
Yeah, where we are, boy, it's every year so different. And this particular team, we've got a lot of young talent in terms of the freshman class. We brought in a class of 6, which is a very large class for us. And you will see them early and often. We scrimmaged against LaSalle on Saturday, and they all got pretty considerable time, one even started. So I think you'll see a lot of our freshmen, and I've been pleased with their ability day to day to stay engaged to the process because they're used to being the best ever in their sort of hometowns and on their AAU teams, and now they're having to guard people like Bella or Sydney or you know anyone Rush or any of these really good players that we have, and it's a different matchup, you know. So they've just stuck with it, and then our seniors have done a really good job saying, I've done this before, you know, let me help you through it. And then obviously Carly, we're asking her to be a senior, although she's only a sophomore. And that for her is growth, you know, having to be vocal. And you know she's going to be a worker. That's why everybody loves her. But she's got to bring the team along a little bit. And I think she's working hard at that.
So you are a firm believer that teams need strong senior leadership.
Very much.
Talk a little bit about that group.
Yeah, man.
You had it last year.
We sure did, yeah. And I think that in a way, every year, because I respect how important it is, I worry a little bit about, even when last year's seniors, I worry a little bit about how they're going to handle the competitive season and the ups and downs and ebbs and flows. And this senior class, the consistency that they've brought and the true desire that they've brought to say, no one cares how young we are. No one cares how good we've been. You know, they've been all that we could have asked for, and as we start games, we're going to continue to need more and more of them. So, so far, so good, and I'll keep pushing them.
So you have we talked about this on one of the last ones that we did, but you have a very turned over coaching staff.
Yeah.
What has that been like? As they, you know, it's one thing to everybody gets along in May and April and all that. It's another thing when you're actually practicing and things get more intense. And how's that all worked out?
It's a good question. I think I've been so pleased. I mean, it's so cliche, but if you think about someone like Carrie, her experience, she's a great recruiter. She's got real passion for the defensive side of the ball. And she stretches you beyond the limits you think are possible as a player. So I have a lot of trust for her and a lot of respect. And then you have Addie back. And Addie knows more about the game than anyone I've ever been around. I mean, she just really, I think partly I make fun of her. She's not a very good athlete, and she was a great player here. So she's had to figure out angles and had to figure out how to play. She's got a very high IQ and is a great coach on the floor for that. And then both Cinnamon and Jess, Cinnamon, our assistant on the floor, you know, her twin sister's at UConn. There's a lot of basketball in her blood. And she approaches the game as a former player in a way of she in the skill development side, the way she works with our players and has been great. And then Jess Imhoff is just a gifted. She came on the video side. So you should see, I mean, you'd probably love it, the stuff she's doing for us film-wise in terms of I can click on, you know, a certain spot on the floor and all of Carly's shots will show up. I can, you know, in red will be where she's below 25% and Carly can click on that button and every single shot she has taken in that button. And so the stuff we're doing film-wise has really grown me. So I feel stretched. I feel challenged. I feel happy. I feel I enjoy them. You know, with a young team, it's almost like things happen for a reason. And I got the right staff to help me grow this young group.
So are you the kind of coach that, you know, every year you're like, okay, practice number one, we're doing this. Practice number two, we're doing this.
We're so great. I would love to plan practices ahead of time, especially on short turnaround days. And it's so dependent upon, you know, we film every practice, we break it down, we put it into this app that goes right onto their phone so they can see the broken down elements of the offense or defense or whatever it is we're focusing on, transition, with notes on it, and it goes right to their phone. They click on it and they can watch it 1,000 times if they want. And of course, we can track how many are watching and how often, right? And these guys are watching film. And so depending on what we see is how we grow. You know, I know sort of the start of the year we have to have X, Y, Z in place, but at the pace at which we do that is very dependent upon where we are.
So as you go down the path of preparing your team for the season, one of the hurdles that you've had is that you can't use the main court, which you're probably fine with because of the reason why you can't use the main court, which is the coming video board, which I assume you've seen it turned on.
And I mean, it's up right now. I just walking down to see you. You know, I got an email from an alum, and I think it's someone who listens, so I want to make sure that I can be heard, is that, you know, that, gosh, Javelin used to be such a historic place, and now there's loud music, and there's these big video boards, and there's, you know, these seat back chairs, and I think being resistant to change is means we're going to get beat, right? And, you know, the growth of our sport and the growth of our league has been really empowering, and so we have to kind of grow along with it. And I think the video board will allow fans to have a more intimate experience with the student-athletes, and we'll be able to share more of our university and our program in sort of in a digital way, and it'll make it more pleasurable viewing experience. And so, you know, the tradition and history of Javelin's important, and so is continued excellence. You know, we have to grow and expand. So this will be, I mean, this is, when I say it's a large video board, one of our players walked over and said, "Coach, it's like bigger than my dorm room." And then a different player walked over totally at a different time and said, "Oh my gosh, coach, I think that's bigger than my dorm room." So two different players on their own, and they're freshmen, so they deserve it. But they, you know, it's remarkably big, and it's going to be really great.
I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It was actually kind of funny because it, you know, it just came in a few boxes, and like, you know, they dropped it off in front, and somebody signed for it, and then Yeah, but a lot of people have done a lot of work to make it happen. Greg Pachkowski has done a lot with that, and especially Greg, I would say.
Especially Greg. You know, this university is, because of how understaffed we are as a university, requires relationships, and he's one of the best at it. He manages professionalism and big projects, but he's a guy you love, so, you know, he can give you some bad news and you can take it.
So it'll be the video board this year, and the seats in the lower section of the north and south stands will have chair backs, and there's plans for the east and west to have that soon. I haven't seen those yet.
Yeah, the east and west, because we want to allow the band and all that, they're actually going to be, they won't have seat backs, but they'll be a little bit more upgraded at the end of the season, I think. I'm staying out of those details.
I haven't seen the north and south ones yet.
I have. They're right behind where the track is right now, and they look great. I mean, it's, again, I don't sit much. I don't really care, but I think for the fans, they'll really appreciate it.
It's all coming this year, 2018-19, for Princeton basketball, the men and the women, and it's going to be here in 2 weeks, and it's amazing that it's almost basketball season already. And one of the things is that you start on November 6th, and it's just that date keeps creeping up and up and up.
Yeah, we just got to be healthy. I mean, I think we've got...
It used to be December 1st.
I know. Now it's November 6th. Last year it was November 10th or 11th.
But I think one of the things about that is that you end up with larger gaps between games.
Yeah.
Is that good or bad?
I think what it does is it allows us to, because we don't play in January, we won't have three games in a week as often. It also means you can stay up weekdays. So if you add a few more days, you can play a few more weekends, which I think is important. So, you know, it's only 5 days, but that means probably 2 more weeks where we're not playing three games in a week and therefore using weekday days. So I think that part's good. I think there are other challenges that we could talk about on a different podcast in the growth that how much is too much and the additive experience of it. But I think we're at a pretty good spot right here.
And one last question for today, and we could talk about this later. This could just be yes or no for now, but are there any rule changes for this year?
I have to watch the refereeing video by November 6th. So
especially because that's when the season starts.
Right. This is a not rules change year, but there will be points of emphasis on the refereeing side, and I'm not sure what those are quite yet.
Okay. Well, we'll have plenty of time to talk about that later, and as we're going
to
do this every Tuesday between now and
it,
a week or so after the basketball season ends, which hopefully will be like it was last year in the NCAA tournament. So, Courtney, thanks for being with us, and good luck as you continue to come back from your knee injury.
Thanks, Jerry. I appreciate it. I'll keep icing.
So this is episode 1 of season 2 of the Court Report, and we will be here every Tuesday during the women's basketball season. And for Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Banghart, I'm Jerry Price, thanking you for being with us, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton women's basketball.